Bound.
Hello and welcome to Susegaat Stories from Goa. I'm your host, Clive D'Souza. I'm a three-time published author, media professional, and a Goan who loves everything about Goa. My latest book is called Susegaat, The Goan Art of Contentment. In my podcast, I chat with some famous and some of my favorite Goans, and together we explore Goa beyond its beaches. From Feni to Fado, Kasa to Cashews, come discover Goa like you've never done before. If you've stayed in a Goan village, you would have heard a particular sound two times a day. It's a soft ponk ponk, and you will see many Goan aunties or uncles or little children run to their compound gates with a little plastic bag. And there, a man on a cycle with a big basket on it will give you your favorite warm bread. The day in Goa for many, many Goans begins with the poder and the pav. And to tell us all about it, we have my guest, Sonia Filinto. Sonia is an award-winning filmmaker, actress and producer. Sonia's film Bread and Belonging has been showcased at various film festivals in America, London, Australia and more. It's a really heartwarming story that deep dives into the tradition of baking bread in Goa. Welcome to the Susegaat Stories podcast, Sonia.
Hello, Clyde. Looking forward to the session today.
Super. So can you tell me where in Goa are you from, or where are you talking to us from?
So I was born and raised in Kalangut, on the coast in the north of Goa. And yes, that's where I am at the moment.
I think many of our audiences are very well aware of Kalangut because it's, of course, the go-to place for most tourists. But I remember you also describing it as a village, which it, of course, is. So can you tell me something about Kalangut that I don't know? By the way, I'm from Kandulam, which is the neighbor.
You're the neighbor, yes.
Yes, I'm the neighbor.
Yes.
So can you tell me something about Kalangut, which I don't know, which I would not know, or which many others would not know? Like when you were growing up, what was that place that you went to in Kalangut, which now is like whatever?
The beach. I mean, it used to be completely different, of course. You know, it was a village, in quote-unquote village, but it always was a bit way ahead of its time in that sense. You know, it was a very popular beach. It still is, but it had a very different flavor before earlier. The most striking thing was you had the rampun calves, you know, the wooden boats, the fishermen with their wooden boats, those old, big, huge boats where they used to go to the sea and come back and, you know, throw the net. So that's something that if you ask, you know, what was there before and the difference from before and now. Of course, there's a huge, huge long list. But for me, that was, you know, something that really stood out. And in fact, it was the subject of an earlier documentary that I made called Shifting Sands.
Wow. Yeah. So I think now the Ramponkar boats have been given away to jet ski boats, at least on many beaches in Goa. Yeah, so today we're talking about bread. And recently, you know, there was this outrage in Goa, and the outrage was not about electricity, nor was it about water, but it was about the increase in the price of pav. And guess what the increase was? It was all the way from rupees 4 to rupees 5, 1 rupee. So that's how much people of Goa love pav, but also are, I guess, unwilling to accept price increases. So what do you think about this whole thing, and why do you think Goans have this love for bread so much?
Yeah, as you said, a princely sum of 1 rupee, you know, increase, and it raised a hue and cry. Well, actually, Clyde, if you see in a lot of places around the world, you know, the price of bread is controlled by the state, because that is a staple meal, staple diet. But actually, if you really spend some time and talk to the baker will tell you that, you know, the price of everything under the sun has gone up, you know, including the raw materials, including, you know, everything, the labor, everything that they that is involved in making the bread. So they are struggling, you know, to make two ends meet.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I was just also thinking that, you know, I mean, I don't know, most of our audience who is listening, they might just be familiar with the regular pav, or they might be familiar with other kinds of bread, but not many of them might know that there are about four or five types of Goan bread, right? And I just, you know, rattle off their names quickly so they get a sense of what we're talking about and the fact that we're, you know, going to spend a whole whatever podcast on pav. So there's basically the undo, which is a crusty kind of bread, right? Then there is the poi, which is like a pita bread. Then there is something called kangkon, which is like a bangle shaped bread, right, which kids love. Then there's a scissor shaped bread called katri chopao. Then there is, of course, the regular pav, which is pav itself. So now what I want to ask you is, when you were making this film, what led you to make the film? Was it a love for bread? Was it a love for filmmaking? Or whether was it a love for telling unique Goan stories?
I think it was the last one. It started as that, you know, in the sense that I wanted to tell stories from Goa. I feel that Goa is, you know, a shooting location. There's a lot of filming that happens here. But I think Goan stories need to be told, you know. And, you know, I've been living out of Goa on and off for many years. And whenever I came home to visit my parents, and I would have bread, yeah. That was something that we had on a daily basis. And I noticed that, you know, the makers of the bread have changed from what they were, or, you know, when I was growing up and over the years. So I was very interested in this whole thing of, you know, who's making the bread. You know, bread is very unique to Goa. It's unique to Goan cuisine, its culture, its identity. You know, we identify ourselves, you know, we are bread eaters. You know, bread was introduced here, and from here it went to the rest of India and, you know, beyond, and, you know, all of that. But the whole thing is that the ones who make the bread are not the ones who used to make, not the multi-generational bakers. So I was very interested in that, and that's how, you know, the story came about. And I went out, met people, met bakers, met all kinds of bakers from all parts of Goa. And you know, that I realized there was a story to be told. And not just, of course, we all love bread. There's a lot of nostalgia around bread. But I wanted to go beyond the nostalgia, question the nostalgia, and see exactly what's happening on the ground as such.
Yeah, I like how, you know, your film basically has these three different angles, which is, one is the whole multi-generational, a family of bakers who are Goan, you know, and then there is a migrant family, a family from Karnataka who has just started baking bread. And then, of course, the film ends with Poderache Festival, which is basically a bread festival. And I like these three different angles. So can you just share who are these families and where did you shoot the film?
Yeah, so we shot across, you know, different parts of Goa. One was, like I said, I was very interested in, you know, knowing a lot of multi-generational bakers. They're leaving the trade, you know, they are either shutting the bakery or they're leasing it out, because it's really not lucrative anymore, because, you know, the struggle is real, actually. So so I was very interested to know, to talk to them and see, you know, what does it mean for someone who is doing a traditional occupation in that sense? You know, what does it mean for them in today's fast-paced Goan life, you know, where, and it's aspiration. Everyone aspires to you know, to move beyond and, you know, to better your means and better yourself. So what does it mean in this milieu to, you know, to run a bakery? And to continue running a bakery. And at the same time, as Goans are shutting shop, as the traditional multi-generational bakers are shutting shop, the demand for bread has not gone down. The demand for bread is still there. So there is a need. So, and that vacuum is filled by, you know, people from across the border. You know, across the Goan border, they see it, and they see it as a enterprise, see it as a job, something that, you know, they can take up and do. So, and if you see along, especially along the northern coast of Goa, if you go around the bakeries, there are very, very few bakeries who continue to be multi-generational. The whole, you know, the milieu has changed in that sense. So I was curious to know, what does it mean for them, you know, for for the bakers who have come from outside, who are setting up shop, and how are they running? You know, what is the life of a migrant baker? You know, he might be baking Goan bread, something that is very unique to Goa, but, you know, how does he fit in the larger scheme of things? And so I was really curious about that. And of course, there is this whole community coming together, you know, to celebrate bread. So, you know, I followed them too. And I was trying to see if the three intersect, because, you know, ultimately it's all about bread, right? But yeah. they don't. I mean, you know, everyone is doing their own, you know, they have their own parallel trajectory. And I wish they did intersect, because then, you know, we could in Goa be doing something, you know, taking it forward in that sense. Yeah. Traditional occupations forward. But yeah.
Yeah, it's quite funny. But yeah, I mean, migrants, international migrants, the Portuguese about more than four centuries ago brought the bread to Goa, right? And now that same bread is being consumed in large quantities by Goans on a daily basis. But now locals are not baking it so much as maybe migrants are, right? It's quite circle. There's a very famous Goan phrase, right, which is apt right now, and the phrase is "te poder gele anite unde kabar zale," which basically means those bakers, those old bakers have gone, and along with them that bread, which basically is this lamenting of not just the loss of bread but the loss of old Goa. So there's a larger theme running over here, right? Which is basically that there is a change happening within Goa from old traditions to a generation that's dying away, and along with them, their traditions, right? So what do you make about all of this? Do you think it's just something that we just need to accept and move on?
Well, see, I mean, you know, to use a cliche, change is the only thing that's constant. Everyone aspires for a better way of life. Mm. So what is better for one person is different from what is better for another person. So while there's nostalgia and we lament and, you know, those good old days, you know, but the old occupations are very, very labor intensive. You know, Goans don't want to do that because they want to do other things. I mean, and another aspect of it is, like, I was talking to some bakers from across the border, and one of them made a statement that said, you know, what Dubai is for Goans, you know, Goa is for us in that sense. So it is.
Wow.
So it's cycle in that sense. But to answer your crux, do we accept it? Well, is that what we want? In the sense that, you know, the very essence, we're kind of losing some essence. I want to just clarify, when I say losing the essence, I'm not referring to migrants who are coming in, you know, that is not what I mean. I mean that, you know, we are killing the goose that lays the golden egg, almost, you know, in that sense.
Right.
We're not appreciating how unique the place is, you know, it has winds from all over the world. It has influences from all over the world that makes us unique. And we need to kind of appreciate and preserve that, this land and all that it brings in that sense.
Yeah. So now in the film, I mean, a lot of people, again, would not know this, but in the olden days, which is maybe 15, 20 years ago, they used the toddy as a fermentation ingredient for making bread, right? And in the film, you've shown this about, I think he's 70 years old. He's stooped over, but he can still climb that coconut tree in a jiffy. I mean, it's amazing. And yes, while we might all want to have toddy-based pow, those guys don't exist anymore. No one's tapping toddy in that sense, right? I mean, I remember the last time I had toddy was maybe 10, 15 years ago. So, like you said, I mean, one thing is that we are losing the essence of Goa, that taste of Goa, which we all like. But the other thing is, on the other side of the coin, there's convenience and comforts, which the new generation wants. But on that note, have you ever had a toddy-based pow, and do you like it? Do you think it's different?
I have had it, and definitely different, definitely like it. You know, there is a particular flavor, unique flavor that comes with you know, that fermentation that you don't get with, you know, commercial yeast in that sense.
Yeah. True. Another thing that is nice in the movie is there's this opening shot where there's this bulb that's dangling into the wood-fired oven, and you just see the glow basically spreading into the kiln, I guess it's called, the oven.
Yeah.
Do you see bakeries who have now moved to a modern way of baking their breads, as in not wood-fired ovens? And do you think that that might just kind of, you know, help them in producing for them, you know, cheaper bread?
See, there were a couple of angles to that. One is that, you know, this bread that is made in Goa with the wood fire oven, it is, we might not use the term, but it is actually artisanal bread. It's made with hands. It is made using wood. And that's what gives it its uniqueness in that sense. Now, another thing is that a lot of bakers, many bakers had in fact petitioned the government to for some incentives, some SOPs really, you know, to maintain, to build and maintain this oven, the wood fire oven, to give them first dibs on auctioning of firewood, because, you know, firewood is so important, the right kind of firewood for this, for the process. So in terms of whether an electric oven, I mean, it's not the same, you know, and the cost would be quite phenomenal, actually.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I think it's a huge question of branding and packaging and all of that, right? Like, for example, there is Hansel Vaz of Kazulo Feni, who has taken a local drink, which is Feni, which is by and large consumed mostly by local Goans. But now he's packaging it like, you know, like Smirnoff or like Bacardi, and he's creating these infused Fenis. Or also, he's opened up a Feni cellar where you can go, like how you go and taste wine, you go and taste Feni. So maybe someone needs to perhaps, you know, do something like that, give it like this very, I hate to say it, but artisanal hipster packaging, you know, like present it in that manner. So, you know, the other thing that I want to also ask you is that, you know, just like Feni now has a GI tag, which is the geographical indication tag, which means that Feni can only be called Feni if it's grown in Goa from cashews plucked in Goa, right? Mm. So do you think maybe the pav and all of these different pavs from Katri Chopav, Kangkon, all of these things are so rooted in Goa? Do you think there's any movement of giving the pav a GI tag? Is that even possible?
See, I mean, pav is now claimed in the sense, and I don't mean it in a negative way, you know, it is a universal food all over. The vada pav, you know, in Bombay is synonymous with Bombay in that sense, you know. But interestingly, it was taken by the bakers from Goa who migrated to Bombay, and it became the staple diet in around the mills, you know, when
maybe it needs to be reclaimed and put on a pedestal and given its due worth.
Yeah,
you know?
There
is this museum of bread in Portugal. It's called Museu do Pão, right? Which is like the largest bread museum in the world. And it displays all sorts of heritage objects which are used in bread making. Does Portugal make the same kind of breads that Goa makes, or is it like just completely different? And
completely different, completely different. And it's interesting, you know, as you said, you were talking earlier how it was brought by the Portuguese, and who knows what was the shape, texture, size of the bread at that point, you know, all those centuries ago. And, you know, then it was claimed or reclaimed or claimed by the Goans in that sense. So I'm sure it took different shapes and forms over the years, over the decades, over the centuries.
Yeah. So I want to play like this game, if you're willing. So it's called Match the Following, where I'll throw out a Goan dish to you, and you can tell me maybe which bread goes along with it. So just for our audiences, there is the pav, there is the poi, which is like a pita type of bread, there is kangkon, which means bangle, and it's shaped like a bangle, there is the katri chapav, which is basically a scissor shaped bread, and there is the undo, which is a round bread but it's crusty on the outside and soft on the inside. Okay, so dish number one is ros omelette, which is curry and omelette. So what goes well with it?
Clyde, I'm sorry, I'm going to play spoil sport again. I like poi, and I think I like poi with almost everything. So I would say I would have the ros omelette with poi and or undo, because I like that too. It's crusty on the outside, so it has that nice bite to it, and then it's soft on the inside, so you can, you know, sponge spend it in that sense. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Now, a lot of people have tea, black tea in Goa with a certain type of bread, and that is kangkon. Right,
yes.
Which is again the bangle. Kids also love it because they can, you know, put their hands into it and play around, basically.
Yeah, the kangkon is definitely very popular with the kids because you can literally wear it. You know, as kids, you know, with the small hands, you can literally wear it and start chomping on it, and it goes very well with black tea, khunti chow. So it's something.
And it's supposedly good for diabetes.
It is. The kangkon as well as the poi also is good for diabetes in the sense because poi is made with less sugar, you know, as well as more rusk, So more husk on the outside.
Right. And of course, then there is something called kalchi kodi, which is yesterday's curry, which Goans have for breakfast the next day. And supposedly, this is what I've heard at least, is that the katri chopao, which is the scissor-shaped bread, that goes well with
absolutely. Yes, with katri, kalchi kodi is like a very, very Goan all-time favorite.
And the curry tastes better.
Yeah, the curry becomes a little thicker in consistency and, you know, it gets matured in that sense. So, yeah.
And you can kind of like soak in the curry very nicely and eat it, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course, then there's the very famous choris pao, which is basically the sausage pao. And that is typically had with a pao or undo, I guess, right? So that covers
typically with pao, actually. Very, very typically with pao.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Great. So that was now made me hungry for all sorts of bread, which since I'm in Bombay,
it has a way of, you know, talking about bread mix as this effect.
Yeah. So now I want to know, you've made you've made the meal and you've made bread and belonging. And I loved even the meal. It's got all of these wonderful people like the late Floyd Cardoz, and it's got a historian. It's got an author. I can't remember the names right now. But so many wonderful people talking about bread while having this lovely lunch in a
Goan house. Yeah, it has Prajal Sakardande as well as Fatima Silva Gracias.
Yes.
So,
That was really nice. So what's next? I mean, are you writing more? Are you going to be producing, filming, directing more Goan stories? And is there something that we can look forward to?
Yeah, definitely. I would love to. And I'm also looking forward to, but last 2 years have been, it's been a blur. We've not been able to go out and, you know, kind of even not just filming, but, you know, start doing research because it needs going out, hitting the streets, talking to people, talking to all kinds of people, young and old. And obviously, you had to be more careful meeting the elderly. So it's as you know, as we all know, it's been a crazy time. So hopefully, things can move. We can get on, and go out and tell our stories. But really, I don't have anything very concrete that I can say. Hey, this is what I'm doing. It's been quite challenging for us all. Mentally
for everyone.
Also, need to be in that space to do it and physically, of course, to be able to
of
do
course.
It.
Super. Yeah. So that was our bread, talking about the bread segment. And I hope that our audiences who've been listening, the next time they're in Goa, they should try more than just the regular pav or poi and try and find maybe somebody who can give you some toddy-based bread or maybe even toddy in the morning or maybe the different types of pav as we mentioned. Before we do that, let's get on to our Susegaat Secret segment. The podcast is called, of course, Susegaat Stories, and my book is called Susegaat, so therefore there's this segment. And by Susegaat, basically, I don't mean the typical laid-back Susegaat, but more the finding your balance in life Susegaat. So, Sonia, what's your Susegaat secret, or where do you find it? How do you find Susegaat?
So, Susegaat for me is actually one might not associate this imagery with Susegaat, but it's the roar of the sea, being on the beach and just listening to the waves crash. That's my Susegaat space, that's my Susegaat time, that's my Susegaat mind frame, and I can take it anywhere and, you know, everywhere I go, really.
So. Nice. Wow. That does sound quite Susegad, yes. Okay, my other question, which has got nothing to do with Susegad, is a question about love, because love, I think, is transformative. It makes you do things, changes your life pretty much. So, heavy question, but yes, what is the meaning of love to you?
Well, it's about love for me is, you know, being able to reach out and being reachable anytime, any day. Yeah.
Nice, simple. I mean, I've done about 4 or 5 now interviews, and it's always amazing to hear how especially creative people, expressive people, people who are kind of, I think, a little more sensitive, give this answer. And I like the different kind of answers that I get. Some of them are deep, some of them are simple. Most of them, I think, are simple, which is great. I think that's deep. So, yeah. Okay, so my next segment is called Rapid Fire. So it's the Uzo round where I ask you these quick, snappy questions and you have like these quick answers to me. Okay, so the first question is, what's your favorite pav?
Pui, because it brings back childhood memories of, you know, stuffing whatever you can and whatever you want, you know, in it and eating it because of the hollow center.
Right. What do you most like having your pav with?
My mom's a green coriander chutney. It's a classic.
Wow, okay. Amazing. My nana used to give it to me with the regular white bread, but I think I need to try it with a pav or a poi.
Yes.
So cool. What's your best fancy bread? Artisanal packaged fancy bread?
I actually like the crusty bread. So the French breads are crusty. So I like I like them. I like the baguette, and you know the ones that have that little bite in them. I enjoy that. Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite bakery in Goa? Do you have any specific one or?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
It's a secret.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
no,
awesome.
I mean, you know, it's really any place that makes bread with, you know, with heart, really. And there are a few right. that still do. So, yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So what's your this question is very interesting. I like it because I think one of the ways to kind of like a place, like a culture, is to, you know, kind of understand the language, learn the language, even if it's one word, two words. So what's your favorite Konkani phrase and what does it mean? And, you know, give us an example of it.
So it is one of my favorite ones is, and I've heard quite a few. My maternal grandfather was, you know, a specialist almost. He had a phrase for every occasion. But the one that I like, it's simple, it's fairly common, but, you know, it's like kamzale oizmelo. In the sense, it means like, you know, literal translation is kamzale, work's done, and oizmelo, doctor's dead, in that sense. So you know, you finish finish what you want and you've forgotten the person who's done it for you. So I think it's pretty apt and it can be used for, you know, it comes in handy, whether you can say it in, you know, in jest, or you can say it in, you know, you can really say it very seriously.
My granny also used to use it. So quite funny. And I think basically it implies that you need to be more grateful and don't forget about someone who has helped you and to remember them, right?
Right.
That's the implication, basically.
Yes.
Any other phrase that you want to tell us about?
Well, this is one which I find quite it's favorite, but at the same time it has a bit of a dark angle and dark humor to it.
Wow. Okay.
It's eyes maka falya tuka. So it actually is something that you see across many cemeteries in Goa. It means like, today it's me, tomorrow it's you, you know. And I think it's quite peculiar that, you know, cemeteries have that. It's like it's morbid almost. You know, you're passing a cemetery and you see the sign and it says, hey, you know, you're next at some point.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
that kind of
thing. A lot of people might not know this, but Goans have like quite a biting humor, you know. It's quite tart at sometimes, no?
Right,
so that's
why
I guess this is one of those cheeky phrases which exists in amongst Goan people. Yeah, that's also one of my favorite sayings. It's lovely. Super. Wow. So, Sonia, I generally end with a Konkani phrase that I want people to learn. So I'll say thank you and Moga Suni, which basically means let there be love. So Moga Suni, Sonia.
Likewise, Clyde. Thank you once again. Moga Suni.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Susegad Stories from Goa. Do subscribe if you're a new listener and join a community of people who love and live the Goan lifestyle. Again, I'm Clyde D'Souza, and for more Goan content, you can follow me on Instagram at Clyde D'Souza Author. This podcast is brought to you by Bound, a company that helps you grow through stories. Follow them at Bound India on all social platforms for updates on this podcast or take a look at their other podcasts. Moga Suni and see you soon.